Blog Talk Radio.
We are live for Fan Racing NASCAR Weekend Preview. This is Thursday night, July the 20th, and we have a lot to talk about on tonight's show. We'll be doing a little bit of a preview. We'll do our preview as we normally do, but we're also going to do a little bit of a review of the Camping World Truck Series at Eldora. They raced last night. It was a fantastic race. And really looking forward to talking about that race tonight. So joining me is our co-host, Jay, MJ Huseman. Welcome to the show, Jay.
Hi, Sharon. How are we doing?
We're doing great. Just going through our agenda for tonight, starting with the Eldora review. I thought we saw some great racing last night at Eldora. Also heard some great news that the viewership was up by about 2% over last year, which is really great news.
Yeah, that was a heck of a race, and I was surprised. I think it was about a half hour afterwards I was still up talking to you about it. So I know it had to be exciting, right?
Absolutely. And before we get into our 9 o'clock segment, we'll also give fans an update of what's going on with the K&N Pro Series here. Not this weekend. They actually have a week off this week, but they've got a really big weekend coming up next weekend, and we'll give you all the details on that. Then during our 9 o'clock half hour, we will get into the ARCA Racing Series. They're racing in Indianapolis, but not at Indianapolis Motor Speedway. They're going to be racing at Lucas Oil Raceway, the old IRP in Indianapolis. And we'll do a preview of that race, as well as we'll cover the Xfinity Series race at Indianapolis, and there's some really big news about the Xfinity Series race there that I'm looking forward to talking about. So that should be a great half hour as well, Jay.
Yeah, I'm assuming talking about the same thing there. That race could have future impact down the road, so we'll see what happens.
We'll see what happens, and I'm kind of encouraged. At first, I questioned some of the things that are going on there, and we'll talk about it later, but now I'm a little bit more encouraged. But going on with our agenda, I will tell you during our 9:30 half hour, we'll do our preview of the Cup Series at Indianapolis Motor Speedway, followed by our hot topics, hot news topics, and any penalties that came up this week. And there were a couple penalties that we have to talk about during that 9:30 half hour. So with that, let's go ahead and get started with our review of the Camping World Truck Series at Eldora. Matt Crafton won that race, and I thought it was great because one of the things that you and I were talking about, Jay, is neither one of us picked Matt Crafton as a race winner at Eldora. We usually think of Matt Crafton being 5 mile asphalt driver, but as it turns out, he's been practicing on dirt by participating in some of the modified dirt races starting at Volusia Raceway in Daytona, going all the way back to Daytona. He had his sights on this win going that far back.
Yeah, listening to the pre-race stuff and practice and stuff that was on and learning about that, about him picking that up, and that tells you how important not just this one race for the Truck Series is, but every race they have, you know, same with the Cup drivers and the road courses, you can't afford to give away any points on any race, especially now with the stage racing.
Absolutely, and I know you'll hear it in the post-race interview with Matt Crafton and Carl Joiner. They won that first stage. They were not happy about losing the second stage, and they went after that win then during the third stage. But let's listen to their post-race comments. It's about 10 minutes and 10 seconds, and we're going to play the whole thing for our listeners tonight. And then, Jay, you and I will talk on the other side of this, all right?
Okay.
Here we go.
Okay, if we could have your attention, please. We are now joined by our winners of the 5th Annual Eldora Dirt Derby, Matt Crafton, driver of the number 88 Ideal Door Menards Toyota for Thor Sport Racing. This is his 14th win in the NASCAR Camping World Truck Series, his first win in 2017, and first at Eldora Speedway. So, Matt, congratulations. If you could just talk us a little through your race this evening.
Way too high tech for me. Started off beginning of the race were pretty good, and then I started searching for different spots on the racetrack when we won the first segment, and I thought we were just a little bit too free at that point and had Junior tighten it up, and then the second segment we were way too tight and we fell back quite a ways, and Junior was pissed off at me because I had him over tight in the truck, and so I guess I had to make up there at the end, and we basically went right back exactly where we started the race, and I just learned how to drive it, and Rico and Christopher went by me up top, and I just had to save my stuff and just had to have something to race there at the end. I knew I just couldn't put it up top like Rico, and just kept pounding the fence, and he was put on a heck of a show without a doubt, but I just kept saying, I can't do that yet. I got to have something here at the end to race these guys, and when it was the pay window open, I finally put it up there and took advantage of it.
Okay, we are also joined by winning crew chief Carl Joyner. Carl, congratulations to you. If you could just talk a little bit about what this win means to you and for your team.
He even talks like a dirt racer now. How about that? The pay window, huh? I'm not sure that's true, but gosh, I can't even thank everybody enough at ThorSport, Duke and Rhonda Thorson. Everybody worked so hard. I felt like we put a lot of effort into this deal. You know, we helped Goodyear kind of come up with this tire. They selected us to come do the tire test, and we had a really good 3 hours to start today, and then it was just atrocious after that. I mean, we struggled so bad after lunch, and we came home, come up with some new ideas, had some dirt or some a little help from a few dirt friends, which I never agreed with the whole time. I just kept telling them, this is still a truck. It's not a dirt car. We're going to Martinsville with dirt. But a lot of the changes we made really helped us, and, man, he just did a heck of a job. I was mad. At the end of that second stage, I was pissed. But that's pretty normal for me, and that's what makes our relationship special. We can shake it off and have our lotion on, and nobody gets their feelings hurt. So.
Okay, we'll open it up for questions. If you have a question, please raise your hand. We'll get a microphone to you. We'll start here in the front with Bob.
Matt, what does this win mean to you, considering you're not – dirt is not your natural racing pedigree?
Oh, it's huge. I mean, since I was a kid, I've always heard about Eldora, and then watching all these guys the last few years put this thing on the fence, and I ran the bottom, and I would run in the top five, and then I would fade at the end because the bottom would go away, and I just became committed that I'm going to run the top, and we're going to give up our bottom of the racetrack and not going to be quite as good down there, but I'm going to run the top when the top when it matters, and that's what we did tonight, and it was huge. It's definitely ranks up there amongst one of the greatest wins I've had so far, just because it's something so out of the ordinary.
Okay, if you have a question, please raise your hand. We'll go next to Kenny.
And I've had to spend a lot of my own money trying to learn how to do this shit as well.
Kenny Bruce with NASCAR.com for Junior. The same thing. What does it mean to you to win here?
I'm not even sure it's sunk in yet. I can't even believe it. It means a lot. It means a lot to win any time you win in a truck series. It's so tough to win on any given weekend and to just shut up all the critics, per se, and put us back in victory lane after years. It means a lot to this team because we need to get on a roll right now, and that's what I told the guys before the race started. You know, we're going to turn this year around right now today, and lo and behold, he did. So I think that we're going to head on an upward climb now, and we'll keep digging like we always do. So thank you.
Additional questions? Okay, just right behind Kenny.
Aaron Bearden kicking the tires. Matt, earlier this year you talked about building the dirt car in your dad's shop at home and kind of the journey you've gone through over this. Could you just kind of describe that journey, kind of learning dirt, especially over the last year, kind of getting back into it? And does this kind of feel like the ultimate reward for all that effort?
Yeah, last this coming here 5 years now, I've been driving other people's dirt modifieds, and you never know what you're going to get in. So I want to control my own faith in it and be able to work on it and understand it and learn it a little bit better and go to the races I wanted to go to. And I bought a car and needed a lot of work. So me and my dad tore it completely apart. We went down and ran Florida. It was 7 nights down in Florida. Last night we were there. We finished second. And then we got where we kind of sucked for a little while, and then we made it a little bit better. And the last race we were at, we were the top five car. And that's big, going to these local shows. And these guys really, really good at this stuff. And I know I kept getting better and understanding it. And just a little bit I did run it in the past, I would gain 10% on it. And I just made it just a big commitment this year. And I'm going to buy it, and I'm going to figure this stuff out and be able to have a shot at winning this golden trophy right in front of me.
Okay, we'll take our next question in the back.
Ticket Sealman, Performance Motorsports Network. Matt, I want to kind of tail off of Aaron's question real quick, and then I got a follow-up for you. When did you actually, you and your dad, when did you guys actually buy your dirt modified as opposed to running for everybody else?
I think it was in January this year, if I'm not mistaken. In January, I got it and literally brought it from Owensboro, Kentucky, on an open trailer to North Carolina and took it to my dad's shop behind his house, and we tore it apart there and just started rebuilding it and going through it, and now here we are.
And a lot of people have made a lot of things about the winless drought, 27 races over a year. I know there were a lot of people that might not have thought this was the place for that to end. As a driver, you've had a lot of success. Is there ever any point where you get going on a drought like this and you wonder when is it or if it's going to come again?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, without a doubt, you always go, dang, is it going to come again? What am I doing wrong? What are we doing wrong? What do I have to change? And I knew we would. I knew we would, because there was spots of the season where we had speed, and then there's spots of the season where we have been really bad as well. But me and Junior just keep working really, really hard week in and week out, and every one of these guys just keep digging really hard and trying to make these trucks better on the half mile to the mile and a half that we go to. I mean, our super speedway program has been one of our weaker programs in the past, and we had a shot at winning Daytona this year and till the middle of the back straightaway.
Okay, we'll take our next question from Jim.
Jim Utter, motorsport.com. Junior, you said something earlier about telling the team you were to turn the season around this weekend. Of all the places to say that, did they look at you kind of strange? And Matt, did you think he was kind of crazy to think that?
No, not at the end of practice yesterday. I had a lot of confidence at the end of practice. I knew if we just put ourselves in the right position and just kept tuning on the truck, and I kept studying and kept thinking about it, and just every time the yellow would come out, I would sit there and study the racetrack and pay attention to the racetrack, where to be on the racetrack. And there were times where I was on the inside wall, I was on the outside wall, in the middle of the racetrack, just finding the grip in the racetrack. And I knew we could. I really did. Had a very, very good feeling at the beginning of the night.
Okay, we'll take our next. Oh, go ahead, Jim.
I feel good about this 88 team every week. So it was maybe time for us to do it, you know. These guys have worked so hard, and Matt and I have talked probably 3 days or 3 times a day on everywhere we go. So we put a lot of emphasis in this dirt deal, and I just felt good about it. Like he said, he showed up yesterday, and we were really close on off the trailer, and we made good changes. And this morning I felt good. I felt like we had a chance to win legitimately. You know, I felt like there was a couple guys that were really good, but I know how he takes care of his stuff. So that's what's won championships for us. So when you got him, you always have a chance to win. That's why I do it, and I'm sure that's why Duke and Ronda Thorson do it, and Menards and all our partners, Toyota. So I couldn't be prouder of this whole team.
Okay, we'll take our next question over here to your left.
Eric Young from superspeedway.com. Matt,
does the new point system this year put more emphasis on a race like this to where you can't just write it off as a mulligan and move on to next week? You have to actually, you know, have to be able to compete well here too.
Oh, you have to get, you have to do good every race. I mean, that was one of the things I was talking to Duke Thorson this morning about, and Duke told me, he says, just remember, this is a points race. Don't go out there and screw up and put this thing on the fence, because everybody say you have to be on the fence. Go down there and protect your stuff like you've always done, and just be there at the end and you'll win the thing.
Okay. Any final questions? Okay, gentlemen, thank you for your time. Congratulations.
Okay. I thought that was an interesting interview with both Matt Crafton, the race winner at Eldora Speedway with the Camping World Truck Series, and his crew chief, Carl Joyner. They made it really clear that this was something that they set out to do. And it was a goal for this year to come out here, Dora, and run well on dirt. What were your thoughts about that as you were hearing that information? I know you said you heard it during pre-race. What were your thoughts as you were hearing that, Jay?
Like I said, the fact that you can't spoil any race, you know, with the stage racing, their season hasn't been exactly the way they've wanted it to, but they never lost confidence. And the fact that he felt that comfortable, you know, with practice and whatnot, the effort he put in, you know, you saw some of the other drivers that were standing along the track, watching other guys, watching the lines they were taking. To have him become a dirt track racer and, you know, do that as well and be able to pick out what it was he needed to observe and learn from, you know, just shows how dedicated he is, and that, yeah, that he was on a mission for himself.
Yeah, and his team. Yeah, it really was a mission this year for them to do that. Because all of us were thinking it's going to be one of the dirt guys that are going to win this race. A lot of us thought Christopher Bell or Chase Briscoe or, you know, any of the other guys that race on dirt. Stuart Friesen led that race for quite a bit. The actual top drivers in this race, I'll go over the top five. Matt Crafton, Stuart Friesen finished second. Chase Briscoe, great run for him in third, and Grant Enfinger in fourth. John Hunter Nemechek had a great run. Any thoughts about any of those drivers?
You know, Chase Briscoe is one that they talked about, again, having the dirt background coming up there. There were a couple that impressed me. Again, John Hunter Nemechek, you don't think of as a dirt track racer. Throughout the entire race there, you kept thinking of, you know, first Christopher Bell, obviously, with his history, having won it before.
Yeah, we're talking the top five. Top five guys we're talking. You're going down the list here. We're talking about the top five guys. Any thoughts about the top five guys?
Just that, you know, I mean, Chase Briscoe, yeah, we kind of expected to be up there and had a chance to win. Grant Enfinger was actually, again, kind of a surprise to me, not having the dirt background. Stuart Friesen came from the dirt background and was dominant all through the weekend. And if you listen to his interview, he wasn't happy with second. I can tell you that.
Yeah. Yeah, he really wanted to win that race. That's for sure. Let's go down the list now and talk about the next five, starting with Bobby Pierce, another dirt racer, a local guy that was in this race. Seventh was Noah Gregson, a great run for him. Justin Haley, he, along with Noah Gregson. Christopher Bell, you wanted to talk about him. He was ninth, and rounding out that top ten is Austin Cendrick. So let's talk about these guys.
Well, again, Bobby Pierce, obviously, if you follow any kind of dirt racing, he just closed out his third consecutive National Tour Series win in a late model. And again, he has run there. I believe that was my pick last week. Had some issues with the truck, had to go through that last chance, still came back, got himself up into the top 10, you know, was there at the end. So I wouldn't say it was a surprise, but seeing how he struggled with the truck and overcame it kind of was. And seventh and eighth, Gregson and Haley, again, two that you wouldn't necessarily expect to be there on dirt, but the amount of effort that they know they have to put into this show each race, you know, again, the points in the stages just shows their dedication to trying to win the championship.
Yeah, absolutely. I was really impressed that in that top 10, there were four rookies. And I think that's pretty impressive when you think about these guys racing on dirt. And for a lot of them, it was the first time they were on dirt. Christopher Bell, we know he's a dirt racer, so this was new for him. A lot of people thought he was going to win. But, of course, he did run into a few challenges and ended up in ninth place. Other drivers that you thought did a good job, I'm going to bring up a couple here. Ty Dillon was up there running for a while. He finished 12th. And the other one that I'm going to shout out is Harrison Burton in 15. I thought he did great for his first time on dirt.
Yeah, again, the interview they had with him and his dad was like, yeah, the only time he takes dirt is when he goes to somebody's house and goes down a dirt road. So,
uh-oh, did we lose you?
No, I'm still here. You know, you mentioned Ty Dillon, you know, they came up on dirt, and I think he definitely had a truck that could win, and I think there was some brotherly issues there. You know, Austin winning that inaugural one, he wants to keep pace with his brother and get that on his resume. So they talked a lot about that, of his drive for that. And, yeah, again, there was so many throughout the race. Like I said, every 10 laps, you were like, oh, this guy's going to win it. And then it's like, oh, this guy's going to win it. And that's what just made it a great, great race. And then out of nowhere comes Crafton again.
Yes, exactly. And I thought it was fantastic. I loved the race. I thought it was a great race on dirt. Now, as far as the points go, there for a while, Christopher Bell did take over the points lead, ran into some troubles and fell back again. So he is now second behind Johnny Sauter, but by only 7 points in the series point standings. In third place is Chase Briscoe. He is 47 points out. And right behind him is Matt Crafton in fourth, 51 points out. So that's kind of a tight battle there between third and fourth. Grant Enfinger is fifth. He's at 122 out. Right behind him is John Hunter Nemechek at 124. So another little battle going on there between fifth and sixth. But Johnny Sauter, in spite of the fact that he doesn't see himself as a dirt racer, it's not his favorite track. He was able to hold his own and keep that points lead ahead of Christopher Bell.
I think he was the one that was quoted as saying, yeah, he wanted to get out of there and not have real much damage and wasn't as concerned about points. He just wanted to move on to the next asphalt race.
Exactly right. He was just trying to take care of his equipment and get through the night, and he did a good job of doing that. And it really showed. We mentioned earlier that Matt Crafton won the first segment. Stuart Friesen won the second segment. And then Matt Crafton, of course, came back and won that third segment. We don't have the official reports yet from NASCAR. These are all based on the unofficial reports that we get from NASCAR. So keep that in mind as we talk about all of this tonight. Any other comments that you want to make about the race at Eldora last night?
The one unfortunate one there was Ben Rhodes. You know, he finished last there after being involved in an accident, and he has now dropped down to seventh in points and is right there with Truex. There's only 1 point between seventh and eighth, and then Noah Gregson in ninth, that next one out on the bubble. We'll talk about in a little bit. He's only 7 more points behind. So that tightened that up a little bit, and that's unfortunate because Ben Rhodes has been on such a good streak and building his way up in those points.
Exactly. Yeah, that whole incident with Taz Grala was a little that happened pretty early in the race, and there was everybody to recover. But that was unfortunate as well. Kaz is a it really wasn't Kaz's fault. She had nowhere to go.
Yeah, that's one of those. I mean, it just, especially on dirt, they talked about, you know, for fans that didn't watch that, again, it's so tough to explain. When Kenny Wallace was doing that where they had the tear off from the windshield and he stood behind it and you couldn't see him, and that's what these drivers are mm-hmm. looking through, especially the deeper in the field you go, the more dirt you're getting thrown. You know, you're out front, you get a little bit just from coming up over the truck, but if you're in 6th, 7th, 8th, you got 5, 6 trucks in front of you throwing that dirt on you. Yeah, that was – to see him do that display
that's
where
enough.
He stood behind it, that was amazing.
Exactly, and it makes it hard for these drivers to be able to react when they can't see until they're right there on top. Again, overall, I thought it was a great race. I'll be looking forward to next year's Eldora race once again. This was the 5th consecutive year that they raced at Eldora, and I'm sure when they come up on a 10-year anniversary, there'll be some celebration there. 5 races at Eldora, 5 different winners. That's not bad for a little dirt track out in Ohio.
Yeah, and that's something, like you said, you know, this is only the 3rd time we've had Austin Dillon and Kyle Larson as cup drivers that dropped down to run it. Again, both of them have dirt experience. Christopher Bell had the dirt experience, but that was the beginning of his truck career, so he was a full-time truck driver. And then Bubba Wallace as well. And that one, I think, was another shocker when he won it.
He was a race winner. Yeah. Yeah, just to clarify, he was a race winner, one of the 5 race winners. So, yeah, and, you know, he talked a little bit about it today on NASCAR America as well, you know, how much he missed being out there, number one, but how difficult it is to race that track. Again, a real fun race to watch, and I can't wait to keep an eye on what happens with the next Eldora race. Now, excuse me, next up, I want to kind of make sure before we run out of time here that we talk about this K&N Pro Series East and West. They are having their combo race next Friday night, and that is going to be a big deal. The combo race at Iowa Speedway is always a huge event for the K&N Pro Series. You're going to see – it was funny, I stopped for dinner the other night, and there was a gentleman sitting behind us, and when I brought up the truck race, I was asking the person I was with if they were going to watch the truck race Wednesday night. And the guy behind me was like, the truck race? And he just got all excited. But he was talking about that K&N Pro Series race out at Iowa Speedway, too. You know, how exciting that race is. This is a do-not-miss event for race fans. For this K&N Pro Series, the feeder series into NASCAR's top 3. They will be racing on Friday the 28th of July. As we get more details about that, we will let you know, of course, on our next week's preview show. It's the Casey's General Store 150 presented by Vatterott College. I'll tell you what, these East and West guys are going to meet. And we talked to Todd Gilliland on Monday night because he won the race out at New Hampshire. And one of the new features this year, in past years, Jay, they've had to declare which series they were going to race for points in. And that's a change in the rules this year. This year, Todd Gilliland can race for points in both series. So that's going to be interesting to see how he does out at Iowa Speedway. That's going to be a big deal for Todd Gilliland on the 28th.
Okay, I must have misunderstood that. I knew they could run for both championships, but for that one race, you're saying he gets points for the East and the West at in the same race?
Yes, yeah.
Okay, I thought for that one race.
Points for both.
Okay. Yeah, no, I knew the rule change that they could run for both championships, but I thought for that particular race they still had to pick one series or the other. So I guess that takes away, because you and I had talked about that as far as which one we thought he was going to go with.
Yeah. And in fact, you know, they sent me the information on it prior to the interview with Todd Gilliland. We talked to him about that. And that's a huge rule change that allows him to maybe run for that championship in both of those series. That would be the first time, I think, that somebody has the potential to win in both series. And Todd Gilliland is a good candidate. He's leading the series point standings in the K&N West. And he is in second place, right behind Harrison Burton, in the series point standings in the East. It's not a very big gap. Let me look that up here real quick. He is just, well, let's see.
20,
Harrison Burton
22.
Has 387 points, Todd Gilliland 373. So I believe that's 14 points difference. That Todd Gilliland is out of the lead in the K&N East. So he certainly has a shot at going for championships in both of those series.
Yeah, especially like you said, if his points count for both, because like I said, that would be a tough decision to have to either give up the lead to chase the other one or build on the lead he had and give up more to Harrison Burton on the East. So that's good news. I didn't know that.
Yeah. Now, some other big news for the K&N Pro Series. Kevin Mannion Motorsports. Kevin Mannion. A lot of us know Kevin Bono Mannion. He's a crew chief. He's got Kevin Mannion Motorsports now. They're making their debut, their series debut in the K&N Pro Series at the Iowa Speedway with their driver, Ben Kennedy. He's a two-time K&N East winner, and they are looking forward to that race out at Iowa Speedway when the East meets the West. That's going to be a big debut for Kevin Mannion Motorsports that weekend as well.
Super excited about that. Again, it's one of those of Ben Kennedy moving out of the trucks. It hasn't had the full-time Xfinity ride. He's only got the part-time schedule. For him to be able to get some other on-track experience and keep building his skills, I think is a great, great move.
It really is. I'm looking at the entry list here. We'll go into this. It's not released yet, so I can't really see the entry list yet. But we will talk about all of that next week on our preview show next week. And yeah, I agree with you. All of this is a lot to look forward to for race fans coming up here. Now, I do want to get into the ARCA Racing Series because they're racing at Lucas Oil Raceway this weekend. They are racing what's known as the Suzuki PowerPax 200 on July the 21st. That's tomorrow. At 9 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, they will have the live timing and scoring as they always do at ARCARacing.com, and this race will also be televised on Fox Sports 1. I've watched races. It used to be called Indianapolis Raceway Park, but I've watched Xfinity Series race at that track. And I'll tell you, it's a fun track to watch racing. So if you're out in that area and you can get out there to the track, I would suggest you get out there to Lucas Oil Raceway and watch these ARCA guys put it together out at that track.
Yeah, and it went to another name change because at one time it was O'Reilly Auto Parts Raceway
yeah.
Park as well. Very, very nice facility. I was really disappointed when the Xfinity Series moved over to the big track, and I know they did it for financial reasons and everything else, but that was one of those of I always liked to see them at that track.
I did too. It's actually in Brownsburg, Indiana, so definitely a local short track that fans can have a lot of fun at watching these ARCA Racing Series drivers mix it up. Now, going through the entry list here, I'll just remind fans, first of all, that Austin Terrio is leading the series points right now in the ARCA Racing Series. Dalton Sargent was the last race winner out at Iowa Speedway, and it was a battle between Dalton and Austin for that victory. Dalton Sargent is second in the series point standings, followed by Riley Herbst, Shane Lee, and Gus Dean, one of your favorite drivers here in the ARCA Racing Series.
And there's a couple of entries here that I noticed. Was it Austin Cindric is going to be in the 99 for Cunningham Motorsports this weekend, and Chad
yes.
Finley is back in the 51 Exalt Auto Value Airlift COXLT Engineering Chevrolet owned by Jeff Finley. So it'll be interesting to see. You know, he's only making the spot races, but he's got one win already this year. So those were a couple of names I noticed on the entry list that I'm kind of excited to watch.
Okay, good deal. Will Kimmel's going to be in the event, so I'm excited to see what Will Kimmel does. He'll be in the number 69. He's from Sellersburg, Indiana, so that'll be kind of a fun track for him to be racing at this weekend. Let's see if there's any other Indiana folks racing on this list. Mike Basham from Henryville, Indiana, is also racing. He'll be in the number 34 car for Darrell Basham Racing, another Indiana guy. And I believe that's it for the Indiana drivers. But that gives you a couple other drivers to keep an eye on. Another driver I'm going to ask you to keep an eye on is the number 28 of Michael Self. His name came up when we talked about that Iowa race. And this guy that we were talking to, he was saying that Michael Self came from the back on more than one occasion. He was really impressed with what Michael Self did out at Iowa Speedway. And it'll be fun to see what he does at Lucas Oil Raceway as well. Michael has raced in the Can-Am Pro Series. He's raced in the ARCA Racing Series. He spent some time coaching some of the drivers that are now racing in the Xfinity Series or the Camping World Truck Series. So he's kind of a little bit of a veteran now, I'd say, in the series. And I expect definitely one to keep your eye on. Another one, the number 46, Thad Moffitt. With Empire Racing, is making his debut it's his second race in the ARCA Racing Series. He raced here before, but he's going to be racing at Lucas Oil Raceway this weekend as well. He is the grandson of Richard Petty, so that'll be fun to see too.
Now you make me feel bad because I couldn't remember who the third one I had highlighted to talk about was, as far as, because I talked about Austin Cindric and Chad Finley. Yeah, Thad Moffitt was the third one. I knew I had seen another one that was kind of an unexpected entry, and that was it. So I'm glad you covered him.
Oh, okay.
Another one, Spencer Davis back in the Venturini 25. He's going to be another one. He's running the part-time, and he's done really good with the starts that he's had that I like to keep an eye on. In the four races he's had, he's got one top five and three top tens. So when he's there, you know he's there.
Absolutely. He's a great racer. Also, speaking of Venturini announced today that Christian Eckes is signing on full-time for the 2018 season with that organization. He'll be driving the number 15 this weekend for Venturini out at Lucas Oil Raceway.
I saw that. I'm happy for that. It's always nice when you have a little bit of assurance behind you to get settled in and have that feeling. So I was really happy to see that. Again, Venturini's commitment to the ARCA series is just unbelievable. The drivers they develop that they get behind, you know, and what they do for to help build the sport as they go up to, you know, most of them go up to the top three levels of NASCAR. So
it's pretty fantastic. Okay, any other drivers you're keeping your eye on this weekend?
Well, Bobby Gerhardt, again, that's another one that, you know, he's known for his super speedway, but I think, let me see, I don't have his stats as far as at Lucas Oil Park, but I know that he's one that can definitely get it done on a short track as well.
Okay. Just a note here, too, that Justin Fontaine is back behind the wheel of the number 33 car this weekend, you'll definitely be able to see him racing at Lucas Oil Raceway. Also, Zane Smith for Venturini Motorsports in the number 55 car, another driver to keep an eye on, and you can't cash out. Ken Schrader Racing, the number 52 in Austin Terrio, the series points leader.
And as you mentioned, Zane Smith there, I read that article on ArcaRacing.com that he compared that to his home track in California, that he feels at home there. So he definitely could be one to keep your eye on that might surprise you. You know, he's had some good runs. What is 8 starts, 3 top fives, and 6 top tens. So he's definitely, again, been in the top ten when he's in the race. I think he might be one to keep your eye on there.
I think you may be right. another one, Dalton Sargeant in the number 77, Florida. He's got a lot of momentum on his side. Even though they had a break in between the race here, he's the last race winner in the ARCA Racing Series. So he kind of gets to stand a little taller coming into Lucas Oil Raceway this weekend. Keep your eye on Dalton Sargeant in that number 77, Briggs Cunningham car.
Well, you know, as I mentioned last week, I chose not to pick him because every time I did, he didn't win. So we're gonna give him a break. I'm not gonna pick him again this weekend, even though I hope to see him win.
gotcha. Okay. Any other drivers that you want to highlight here before we move on?
Quick mention of Brad Smith from Shelby Township, Michigan, in the 48 Radon.com Ford for James Hilton. I know they went through some issues with their hauler, so it's good to see him out on the track, and hopefully they can have a good run.
Yes, that's a good point there. It's good to see them running this weekend at LOR after a little bit of adversity there. Also, we've got Riley Herbst in the number 18. There's Shane Lee in the number 22 that's entered in this event. A.J. Fike in the 27. Your guy, Gus Dean, in the number 32 car, racing this weekend with his teammate, Justin Fontaine. I'm trying to mention the ones that we haven't mentioned yet. Trevor Knowles is racing in the number 78 this weekend for Mason Mitchell Motorsports. That car has won championships. That team has won championships, so it will be fun to see what they do. And Dale Shearer is in the number 94 car this weekend as well.
Do you have a driver? The list I got, the number 10 for Andy Hillenberg. I don't have a driver on him yet, on that car yet.
Zach Ralston is racing in the number 10 for Andy Hillenberg this weekend. His hometown is Springville, Iowa, and he'll be racing this weekend at LOR.
Another one, making a few off starts, and he was in the truck race there at Eldora, is Sheldon Creed in the number 12 United Rentals Toyota. And he's from Alpine, California, does the off-road racing with Robbie Gordon's truck racing. He's showing some talent on the asphalt on the ovals, so he's another one that I think eventually as he continues to build his resume, you're going to start seeing his name more and more.
Absolutely. Kevin Hinkle is racing in the 08 this weekend from Shawnee, Kansas. Mark Munier in the 06 from Louisville, Texas, from Peterson Motorsports Racing this weekend. Mike Seneca in the number 3, Eric Caudell in the number 2, and Con Nicopoulos is in the number 0 car this weekend. Who's your pick to win that race this weekend out at Lucas Oil Raceway?
You know, I thought I had a good pick, and then the more we talked about some of these other drivers, I was like, it just added to my list. I'm gonna go with Chad Finley. I think he gets another win. Yep.
Okay, I think Chad Finley is a great pick. I know that Venturini Motorsports is knocking on the door of getting that win. I think the 15 car just might be able to do it this weekend. I'm actually torn between that 15 and the number 55 with Zane Smith. I think they're both going to be big contenders. But I say look out for Michael Self as well in that number 28 car.
Absolutely. It's going to be another great race. Again, I love watching these guys race. Hopefully they start getting more live coverage. I always like to see that. But
well, it is going to be televised on Fox Sports 1. Again, the race is tomorrow at right around 9 o'clock, I believe it's then. They're starting at 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern time tomorrow night. And if you're not near the TV, you can get online and watch the live timing and scoring as well as the chat feature that's over at ArcaRacing.com, where they keep you up to date with everything that's going on at the racetrack. Michael Self, by the way, is the spotlight driver over at ArcaRacing.com. He's coming off a fourth-place finish at Iowa Speedway. He tested at Lucas Oil Raceway in preparation for their race tomorrow. He's, again, driving the number 28 Sinclair Oil Toyota at Lucas Oil Raceway, and he's racing with MDM Motorsports. Just a little something more there about Michael Self. All right, let's move on to the Xfinity Series. They were racing at Indianapolis Motor Speedway, and I just put the wrong information here. They're racing at Indianapolis Motor Speedway in the Lilly Diabetes 250. The race is this Saturday, the 22nd. Should start around 3:30 p.m. Coverage will be on NBCSN as well as IMS, that's the Indianapolis Motor Speedway Radio Network, and SiriusXM NASCAR Radio. They are racing 250 miles for 100 laps. Stage 1 will end on lap 30, stage 2 on lap 60, and then the last stage ends on the last lap, lap 100. So that's the Lilly Diabetes 300. Really looking forward to this Xfinity Series race because they made a few changes to the cars for this race. To include a restrictor plate, but let me go over all of the changes here. They have their sixth annual running of the Lilly Diabetes 250 this Saturday, again at 3:30 p.m. Eastern Time. But this time, the teams and competitors are working under a new competition package, and that package has been designed specific for this track. Changes that are being made specifically for this race at Indianapolis. It's a 100-lap race. The 2016 spoiler and splitter will be re-implemented, and teams must run the ear flap on both sides. Also, the new aero ducts will be supplied by NASCAR at the track and will be attached to the front bumper. Here's the big news, though, in all of this. They're using a 7/8 inch restrictor plate on the Xfinity cars at Indianapolis Motor Speedway. And the idea here is they're trying to get the slingshot pass to work on that track by using this restrictor plate. There's a lot of speed going down that those straightaways, and they're encouraging bump drafting, which is something that you don't normally think of at Indianapolis Motor Speedway. But with these restrictor plates, these drivers will be able to bump draft to make that slingshot work so that these drivers can pass at that track. So what do you think of that news, Jay?
I'm glad to see that they're making changes in an effort to try and improve the racing. I'm going to read this little clip here. The new package with the is designed to create the close racing and passing opportunities for the competitors. Part of the key package with that is the aero ducts that were mentioned, which move the airflow out of the front wheel wells and create the larger wake, which punches a bigger hole in the air for the vehicle behind it. And that increases the draft envelope by approximately 25%, which will allow the trailing car to suck up and close in on them quicker, like you said, and create that slingshot opportunity, which when you talk about the slingshot, you're going back to old school terms. And yeah, I'm excited if it works. And I know they did a lot of testing with this. I have a concern about the restrictor plate. I know when they tried that at New Hampshire, it didn't work real well. But I know they, like I said, they've put in a lot of time and effort into this package and this program with the testing with it. And they're looking at it to also, if it goes well, of how they can move it up to the Cup Series. So I do hope good things come from it.
Mm-hmm. I think what happened when they did the testing out in Indianapolis Motor Speedway, somebody realized the potential of using the restrictor plate. They tested restrictor plates during that test session, and they really liked what they saw on the track. So it's one thing when you're testing. It's a whole other thing when you're under race conditions. So the proof is going to be in the pudding during the race on Saturday, but something for fans to certainly be aware of with this particular race for the Xfinity Series. Now, Kyle Busch is stacking up all his accolades for what he's been able to do in the Xfinity Series and actually across all of the series. But he's got quite a list of accolades that are specific to Indianapolis Motor Speedway. He's looking to add a couple more records to the list. First off, he's going to attempt to become the first driver in series history to win five consecutive poles at Indianapolis Motor Speedway. Right now he has four covering from 2013 all the way through 2016. If he gets the pole again this weekend, that's going to be another history-making event for Kyle Busch. Now, he will try his hand at becoming the first driver in series history also, consecutive races from the pole at Indianapolis Motor Speedway. So that's another milestone to keep an eye on for Kyle Busch if he's able to win this race on Saturday as well. He already leads the series in wins. He has three in 2013, 15, and 16. Brad Keselowski in 2012 and Ty Dillon in 2014 are the only drivers to win in the series at Indianapolis Motor Speedway. And Kyle Busch has been pretty dominant in his five starts, right, Jay?
Yeah, just with what you mentioned there, clearly, but there's more to it than that. As you said, he leads the series in poles with four, wins of three, top fives of four, the average starting position of 1.2, and an average finishing position of 5.4, and laps led at 268. And keep in mind, Kyle Busch can become the first driver to sweep the NASCAR Xfinity Series and the Monster Energy Cup Series races at Indianapolis Motor Speedway from the pole. I'm sorry, he became the first to sweep both races from the pole last season. And like you said, he's looking to build on some other consecutive records there.
Absolutely. So Kyle Busch is a driver to keep your eye on this weekend. He has a chance to really make some history here in more ways than one. And it's always fun to see what Kyle Busch is able to do. I hope he has a good day at the track Saturday. Now, it's also, we need to talk about the playoff bubble, about who's in and who's out after New Hampshire. Because, again, we're counting down here in the Xfinity Series, Jay.
Yeah, with just the 9 races left until the NASCAR Xfinity Series playoffs start, the time's running out for these drivers to win and lock themselves into that postseason. 3 drivers that are already locked in on wins are William Byron, Justin Allgaier, and Ryan Reed, leaving 9 spots open. The Xfinity Series runs takes 12 into the playoffs. So there's 9 spots still open. And 5 of the 9 winless championship contender drivers currently in on points that have built a large point lead up so far over that 13th place cutoff line that would take a major collapse for them to not make it in. Those are Elliott Sadler, and he's 331 points ahead of 13th. Brennan Poole is 139 up. Daniel Hemric is 132 up. Cole Custer is 107 up. And Matt Tift is 98 up. So that's a race and a half that they have a cushion already.
Absolutely. Now, the next 2 drivers, Michael Lynette is down below the cutoff line by 60. I'm sorry, he's still above the cutoff line by 66 points. So is Dakota Armstrong by 62 points. They also have put a sizable difference between themselves and the 13th place driver, but they are not out of the woods just yet. A win would really help their chances the best, but they're going to have to really race for points out here at LLR this weekend.
And the reason we talk about that is with the new stage racing, with 2 stages, you can get 10 points each in those, and then the race win is 40 points. So you're talking about 60 points that can be made in one race. So that's why those guys they have a 1 race lead, essentially. But that could, again, if they have a wreck or something, that could bring them right back down into the thick of it. And the ones that are really on the bubble, right on top of the bubble following New Hampshire, are Blake Koch at 35, and Brendan Gaughan, who is now to the good side, but only by 9 points. And they're currently in on points, but that one, it's taking a poor finish. They might not even need a poor finish. If they're 15th, you know, somebody could sneak in above them. So those 2 could easily change within 1 race.
Right, right. Next driver on the list here is Ryan Sieg. He's sitting in the first spot that's outside the playoffs. He's 13th, but he's just 9 points behind Gaughan. J.J. Yeley is also in the hunt for the final playoff spot. He's 15 points behind Gaughan. So these guys are pretty close to being in that top 12. And I would definitely look for these guys, Ryan Sieg, to be really running as well as J.J. Yeley for those points as well.
And of those 9 that are currently in the playoffs but without a win, 3 of them will be making their series track debut at Indianapolis Motor Speedway this weekend. And that's Daniel Hemric, Cole Custer, and Matt Tift.
Okay, now those drivers who have the best chance to break through and get their first win of the season this weekend. Here are the average finishing positions at IMS. Michael Lynette has an average finishing position of 7.5. Elliott Sadler, 10.9. Brendan Poole, 11. Brennan Gaughan, 16. Ryan Sieg, 18. Dakota Armstrong, 18.7. Yeley at 24.5 and Blake Koch at 30.7. So there's some work to be done here for these drivers to be able to get themselves secured into that Xfinity Series playoff. A win is the best way to do it. I don't think these guys can necessarily rely completely on points.
Yeah, you certainly don't want to be comfortable with where you're at there. And the one thing I like is this may be an equalizer with this new package that your veterans haven't run with either yet. So kind of makes it an even playing field. You know, there's still going to be your veterans that are ones that are maybe pick up on something a lot quicker, but it's still something they don't know. The rookies and the younger guys don't know. So they're all learning together. So I think it could be a very, very wild race and could be a big game changer here in the points.
I totally agree with you. I think this is definitely one of those races that you want to be at. And if you can't be at it, try to be at the TV watching because it's going to be a great race. Again, that race is going to be on NBC Sports Network starting at 3 p.m. for the pre-race show and the race sometime around 3:30. Who's your race winner pick for the Xfinity Series race?
Okay. Again, this one is such a being that you're giving me the opportunity to go first, I'm gonna skip over Kyle Busch. I mean, that one's your 1-to-1 money there, but I think I'm gonna go with non-Busch driver.
Yeah, I was gonna say start with your highest finishing regular Xfinity Series driver.
I'm gonna have to go with Elliott Sadler. He's run there even on the Cup level. A little surprised that his average finish there at 10.8 seemed a little high to me. But I'm gonna go with Elliott Sadler.
Okay, that's a good one. Elliott Sadler is certainly in the thick of things, and he'll be in this playoffs for sure. For me, I think the driver to watch at Indianapolis is going to be, boy, that's a tough one to call. Elliott Sadler is a great pick. Who do you pick here? there's so many scenarios that I see playing out here. I'm going to say keep an eye on, who do you pick here? Because I'm trying to stay away from Kyle Busch.
Yeah,
I'm going for the highest finishing regular driver. And I'm going to say keep your eye on William Byron again, I think. I think William Byron or Justin Allgaier. Keep your eye on these guys. And another driver that it wouldn't surprise me is Ryan Reed, especially when you're talking about restrictor plates. He runs really well at Daytona and the restrictor plate tracks. So that's something that's going to be really comfortable for him. But I think out of those two, I'm going to pick William Byron. Yeah, I know he's the rookie, but he's an impressive rookie.
Yeah, very true. Both about Reed and William Byron. And you also mentioned Justin Allgaier there, and we've talked about this for I don't know how long. The thing those three have in common, Junior Motorsports, they're all three top of the points. And even when we talked about Mike Lynette, he's got that 7.5. He's in a Junior Motorsports car this year. You know, they've just been absolutely on top of their game this year. So you can't go wrong with any one of those three.
Absolutely, absolutely. Again, get out there to the track and watch these guys race. It's going to be a lot of fun in this Xfinity Series. The name of the race is the Lilly Diabetes 250 at Indianapolis Motor Speedway on Saturday, July the 22nd. And I'm going to do a quick little shout-out here. July 22nd is my grandson's birthday. He's going to turn 5 this Saturday. So I hope I wish him a happy birthday and another great year of his life.
Well, you should have been asking him then who his pick was and let him pick for you.
Yeah, no doubt. It's a lot of fun. But let's go ahead and move on to, I'm worried about running out of time here. We got to get on to the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series. We've got the Brantley Gilbert Big Machine Brickyard 400 at Indianapolis Motor Speedway on Sunday, July the 23rd. That race starts around 2:30 p.m. Eastern Time, and it will be broadcast on NBC starting at 2 p.m. Eastern Time. Radio broadcast is on IMS Radio Network, that's Indianapolis Motor Speedway, as well as Sirius XM NASCAR Radio. They are racing 400 miles over 160 laps. Stage 1 will end on lap 50, stage 2 on lap 100, and the final stage ends on the last lap, 160 laps for this race. I can't wait to see what happens here. I heard that Jeff Gordon's going to be there this weekend. I believe he is driving the pace car, four-time Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series champion. Jeff Gordon will serve as honorary pace car driver this Sunday at Indianapolis. He is third on the all-time series wins list with a total of 93 victories. So Jeff Gordon to be making an appearance at Indianapolis. To some degree, that's a home track for him. His family moved from California to that Indiana area, and this will be nice to see him at the track this weekend.
Okay, you're going to get all our fans excited. You know, you're going to start the rumor that Jeff Gordon's racing at Indy this weekend.
In the pace car, maybe.
Yeah, that's right. In the pace car only. Well, if you can believe it,
okay.
This week we aren't going to be talking about Joe Gibbs not winning, as Denny delivered last weekend. Sends Joe Gibbs Racing to victory lane for the first time this season. He led 54 laps, and that was in his backup car, and beat second place Kyle Larson to the start-finish line by 0.509 seconds, giving Joe Gibbs Racing their first visit to victory lane this season last weekend at New Hampshire Motor Speedway. The win was the 30th of Hamlin's career and his third at New Hampshire. He hadn't won a race himself in 28 starts since taking the checkered flag in last year's season finale, regular season finale race at Richmond International Raceway. The number 11 Toyota driver became the 25th driver to win 30 or more Monster Energy Cup Series races. And all of note there, all non-active drivers with more than 30 Monster Energy Cup Series wins who have been eligible for enshrinement into the NASCAR Hall of Fame are in. So that tells you that he's hitting that milestone where he's starting to be up there with the top level drivers.
Absolutely. Now, I'll tell you what, last year, Joe Gibbs Racing racked up 12 victories. Martin Truex is in an affiliate team with Furniture Row Racing and help JGR from a technical perspective. They are partners. And they tallied 3 checkered flags this season with 14 stage wins. And I'll tell you what, Martin Truex Jr., nobody's doing it as well as he is as far as strategizing. Is that a word, strategizing?
It is now.
for putting a strategy together to get the most stage wins and the most points going after that. That's 15 extra points that the leader of the regular season will get if they can stay in the points lead there. So these guys have been going after it all season long. I don't expect that to change at the track this weekend.
Hamlin will continue that momentum for Joe Gibbs Racing. in 11 Indy starts at Indy, Hamlin has 4 top 5s, 6 top 10s, and a 13.4 average finish. He's placed 4th at the Brickyard last year and claims 3 consecutive top 5 finishes there. So we'll see see if he can keep that up. He's going to be one to, now, especially now that he's got that win, you know, their strategy might change a little of how they race and go after some stage points to try and keep pace with Martin Truex, as you mentioned.
Yeah, to keep pace with Martin Truex, and I think the bump drafting is going to make a big difference, and it's going to be interesting to see how these guys deal with that at Indianapolis this weekend. So even looking at some of these stats, it's a little bit, I don't want to say irrelevant, because it certainly isn't irrelevant, but it's a little bit different game that they're playing, if you will. It's a little bit different race strategy that they'll be putting on the track this weekend. Oh, I'm sorry. These guys aren't running the restrictor plates, are they?
No, not yet. Because, again, remember, they want to see how it works with these Xfinity.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. I've got them running the restrictor plates, and I'm taking a step back here and remembering that it's only the Xfinity series that's running those restrictor plates. So take back everything I just said, because it's not even a part of the factor here.
Some of what you said there actually is because of the stage racing. Again, you know, the stats that we give have all been based off of regular racing. This year, stage racing has changed a lot of the way they attack a race. You know, again, it used to be only the two road courses where strategy came that pre-planned, if you will, that they ran the race backwards and whatnot. You know, stage racing has changed a lot of things this year.
It really has. And like I said before, the driver who's done it the best and the team that has done it the best has been that team of the number 78 team with Martin Truex Jr. But trust me, these guys are going to catch on. And a lot of these other drivers are going to be trying to repeat that. A driver who's going to be a triple threat this weekend is Kyle Busch. He's going to try for his third straight Brickyard win this weekend. He'll try to capture the second straight win for Joe Gibbs Racing after Denny Hamlin won last weekend. He's also at the same time going after his third consecutive victory at Indianapolis Motor Speedway. He's won two in a row, two consecutive. The last two races have been won by Kyle Busch. He's placed in the top two there in 4 of the last 5 races. That's how good he is at Indianapolis. In 12 career Indy starts, Busch has 2 wins, 5 top 5s, 10 top 10s, and a 9.0 average finish, which is 2nd best in the series. That's pretty darn impressive. Among the active drivers at Indianapolis, Busch has the 2nd-best average running position as well at 10.8 with a driver rating of 105.5. He's won at least one race every season since he began running in the Cup Series full-time in 2005. That's another impressive stat for Kyle Busch, and he's going to continue to make history. And this weekend is certainly another opportunity for him at Indianapolis Motor Speedway.
Yeah, it's amazing that each week we talk about all the different records and whatnot that he is setting or looking to break at, you know, each track overall for the series and different things. He's just an amazing talent behind the wheel.
It's remarkable.
You mentioned Jeff Gordon, considering Indianapolis being his home track, and we've seen Tony Stewart win there. There's another one, a hometown Hoosier, South Bend. Ryan Newman is hoping for another Indy win. He returns to his home track for Sunday's Brantley Gilbert Big Machine Brickyard 400. In 16 starts at Indianapolis Motor Speedway, Ryan Newman has the 1 win we mentioned, 2 top 5s, and 3 top 10s. And he's virtually a pretty much guaranteed a spot in the Monster Energy Series playoffs when he won Phoenix earlier in the year. So, again, he can kind of be on a different strategy, maybe take a gamble on that strategy and pull out a second victory there at Indy.
Yeah, absolutely. And another driver to keep your eye on this weekend, he's been impressive in every race we've watched him at. And it doesn't matter where he starts in the field. If he starts at the back, he makes his way to the front in due time. He started from the back in the last two races, and it's not been a problem for Kyle Larson. He began the race in 40th place and finished in second. A week later, Larson placed second place again after starting 39th. In two races, he's completed a combined 177 green flag passes. That includes 90 at Kentucky and 87 at New Hampshire, which is really amazing when you think about it. Those are green flag passes that Larson has made in both of those races. The number 42 driver is enjoying a breakout full-time season this year. Through 20 races, he has 2 wins, 7 runner-ups, 9 top fives and 12 top tens. Again, really impressive stats there. He sits second in the Cup Series point standings, 38 markers behind Martin Truex Jr. And it's important to note here that he had that 35-point penalty. Without the penalty, he would be 3 markers behind Martin Truex. So that penalty really put him a little bit further back in those point standings. He ranks second in the average running position, which is 8.8, his driver rating, remember we were just talking about driver rating, somebody was at 105, his driver rating is 106.2. Larson has finished in the top 10 in all 3 of his Indianapolis starts, including a career track best place showing last year. So Larson may be a driver to keep your eye on this weekend as well. Hopefully, he'll break that second place finish thing that he has going on.
As I say, especially to keep an eye on him if he starts at the back.
Yes, indeed.
It's one driver he might have learned that start at the back and go to the front, Jimmy Johnson, and he's hoping to pick up another win there at the Brickyard at Indy. There's not many better there, period. Obviously, he's got tied with the 7 championships. But he's got some impressive stats at Indianapolis Motor Speedway as well. The number 48 Hendrick Motorsports Chevy, Lowe's Chevy driver, leads active competitors at the 2.5-mile track with 4 wins. He's also got 6 top fives, 7 top tens, and a 14.6 average finish in his 15 career starts at the Brickyard. And although his performance has trailed off lately with only 2 top 10 finishes, both 10th, since winning at Dover 6 races ago, he's still tied for the series lead with 3 wins and is second behind Martin Truex with 16 playoff points. Right now, on the total victory list, he is 1 away from tying Bobby Allison, Darrell Waltrip for 4th on that all-time list with 84 victories. So he'll be looking to make some serious history there as well. When we talk about making history, he can move up there with, again, names like Bobby Allison and Darrell Waltrip. You know, that's the best of the best there.
It really is. And I tell you what, as a race fan, I think it's really remarkable that we're able to watch drivers the caliber of Kyle Busch and Jimmy Johnson making the kind of history that they're making with their careers in this Cup Series. The fact that we get to see 2 really great drivers up here really making a name for themselves and certainly future Hall of Famers.
That's something that a lot of people, you know, while it's happening, you know, whether it be, you talk about football, it was the Dolphins or the Patriots, and baseball, the Yankees. When they're winning all the time, you don't like it. when you look back and you're like, oh, you know, this team was that dominant, you're like, I was there. I was a part of that. You know, I lived through that. And I don't think people mm-hmm. realize that now, but they will down the road.
That it really is a big deal. Okay, now let's talk about this. There's only 7 races until the playoffs. The first 4 that would be out of the top 16 would be Logano. He's 42 points below Matt Kenseth, who's at the cutoff line. Eric Jones, 97 points out. Daniel Suarez, 120 points out. And Trevor Bayne, 155 points out. The 16 drivers that are in the playoffs based on points and wins right now include Martin Truex Jr. With the 3 wins and 28 playoff points. Jimmy Johnson has 3 wins, 16 playoff points. Kyle Larson with 2 wins, 13 playoff points. Same thing for Brad Keselowski. Ricky Stenhouse Jr. has 2 wins, 10 playoff points. Kevin Harvick, 1 win, 8 playoff points. Ryan Blaney, the same thing, 1-8. Denny Hamlin is 1-7. Kurt Busch, 1-5. Ryan Newman, 1-5. Austin Dillon, 1-5. Kyle Busch, 178 points above Joey Logano on the cutoff line, 5 playoff points. Elliott is 115 points up with 2 playoff points. Jamie McMurray, 100 points out. Clint Bowyer, 54 points above the cutoff line. And Matt Kenseth, 48 points above the cutoff line and 2 playoff points. Starting with Kyle Busch, those are the drivers that do not have a win yet this season. I'm a little worried about Joey Logano and whether or not he's going to be able to make it. He's now 42 points out. What do you think of his chances this weekend at Indianapolis and then beyond that at any of the other tracks that are left?
As the article that got posted last week when I talked about that, I said he needed to stay up in points or get that win, and now I think he's getting to the point where he needs that win because I don't think he's going to outpoint these guys in front of him now. That gap grew. 42 is a lot to be making up, you know, especially against Matt Kenseth. You look at Joey's stats in 8 starts here, he's got 2 top fives and 5 top tens at Indianapolis. They just, this year, especially since their win was stripped from them, the encumbered win, they seem to have been lacking something. And unfortunately, in a pool I'm in, I picked him to have the most wins this season overall of any driver, and I'm a little behind now. I still get credit for that one. Ours isn't encumbered, but I'm really beginning to lose faith in him. I'm going to have to see something out of him to have that faith restored because they've just been struggling.
Yeah, his chances are really dwindling with every race that they're running now. Again, there's only 7 races left for him to get a win. His chances are Indianapolis, Pocono, Watkins Glen, Michigan, Bristol, Darlington, and Richmond. And he is not on the wins list in any of those, so he does not have any previous wins at any of those tracks. So Logano really has to look at getting some of those stage wins and trying to gather as many points as he possibly can. And he's going to need the car to be able to do that. So, again, it's going to be interesting to see what happens there for Joey Logano. Now, another thing that fans should be aware of, especially if you're going to Indianapolis this weekend, there's going to be a fan fest tomorrow. And it's going to bring stars of the Monster Energy Cup Series to the Speedway's Main Street this Friday. 9 drivers are participating in interactive fan activities, including but not limited to the Hall of Parade, pit stop contest, and a relay challenge for fans. They don't mention here who those 9 drivers are, But you will see Cup Series drivers out there at the Fan Fest if you're going out to Indianapolis Motor Speedway. You'll definitely want to take part in that activity tomorrow. So who's your race winner pick for this weekend, Jay?
I am going to – let's see. I'm going to go out on a – I don't want to say a wild limb because he's always capable. I think Chase Elliott gets his first career victory here at the Brickyard.
Okay, I think Chase Elliott is a good pick. I'm gonna say Kyle Busch gets his third straight Brickyard win. He's been so good at that track the last couple of seasons. He needs a turnaround, and now that Joe Gibbs Racing has that win, that first win under their belt, I've got a feeling that things are going to start popping for Joe Gibbs Racing, and I think the next pop for them is going to be Kyle Busch at the Brickyard. And he's going to make some history. So that's my pick for this weekend.
And that's certainly, again, you know, he's going for that record. He is one that likes to set records. So that's definitely one you have to look at. I know, and you and I are looking at the same set of notes here. I was going based off of memory, but I've pulled it. I found something I was looking for here. Joey Logano had the win at Pocono. Back in 2012, if you remember, he bumped Mark Martin. A lot of fans were upset with that because he bumped Mark Martin and took that win at Pocono. I know he wasn't on our list here, but he has a win at Pocono.
Okay, and I was thinking Richmond as well. I was surprised not to see his name there because I saw some other notes that indicated that Joey Logano, that Richmond could be another possibility for him. So there's some possibilities for him. I know that he's made it into the playoffs by getting at least enough points at Richmond, if not a win at that track. So, yeah, I think that that's why I didn't want to get into that, because I think there might be some missing information there, because I think I saw the same notes that you're talking about regarding Joey Logano.
Well, and that one from Pocono, because like I said, I remember that race that period. The fans came down hard on him when he, you know, bumped Mark Martin, you know, and that's why that one stuck out. I did, like I said, I had to pull it up because I was like, I wasn't 100% sure, but yeah, it was back in 2012 when Mark Martin was still running.
Yep. Yes, indeed. So yeah, it's definitely something to keep your eye on. And I think, like I said, I think he also made the playoffs with a win at Richmond one year. So it's certainly not outside the realm of possibilities for Joey Logano. But what we're looking at is the bigger picture where he's just had a struggle after struggle this entire season, including the one win that he did get being an encumbered win that will not get him into the playoffs this season. He's in a must-win situation now with his Cup Series playoff hopes. Okay, we're down to the last 2 minutes of the show, but I wanted to get into some of the biggest news. Before we do that, let's talk about the penalties from New Hampshire. There were two penalties from New Hampshire, and both of them were lug nut penalties, not being properly installed. The number 19 team of Daniel Suarez, his crew chief Scott Graves, was fined $10,000. And same thing with the number 41 team of Kurt Busch. His crew chief Tony Gibson was also fined $10,000. Both of those are safety level penalties, and I wanted to get your thoughts there.
You know, it seems like every week there's at least one or two, either in the Cup Series or the Xfinity. You know, we went for a stretch where we didn't have to talk about the lug nut thing again. Now it's starting to come back. Hopefully it's a short-lived thing, because especially when you start talking about taking points or the crew chief and whatnot, I hate to see that. I understand NASCAR's position, and again, the teams asked for that, so NASCAR's doing it. I just, again, I hate hearing about that versus the racing.
Right, I gotcha. But at least in this case, there were no points that were assessed for either team. So I see it as kind of a warning shot for both of these crew chiefs. They were fined $10,000 each. So they're saying, let's make sure this doesn't happen again for safety reasons. So just something to talk about there. Big news coming out today with regard to Dale Earnhardt Jr.'s number 88 car. He's retiring at the end of this season. Lots and lots of speculation over who's going to be in that number 88 car for the 2018 season. And today we found out that it will be Alex Bowman. And I was very happy with that announcement. I think Alex Bowman was a great pick for Rick Hendrick for that number 88 car for this season. Well, what are your thoughts? Or for next season, I mean.
Yeah, if you follow me on Twitter at MoparMJ8, you'll know that I've been campaigning and whatnot for him. I think he earned and deserves that ride. You know, he's shown what he can do in lower budget teams. He showed what he can do with that car, you know, in the few races he got to run it last year. So I think that was a good move on their part. I know ESPN is the only spot I'd heard that it's a one-year deal. You know, again, I don't know how that all worked out. I hope it's a longer term than that. You know, I know they got William Byron that they're looking at bringing up. That was one of the possibilities. So we'll have to see how things shake mm-hmm. out. But I do like the fact that he does get that 1 year and can show. Hopefully he stays with Hendrick. Something works out there. If not, he showed what he can do, and we'll pick up another ride, quality ride
mm-hmm.
For 2019. But very, very happy to see him in that 88 for next year.
Yeah, I think he showed us what he can do in that number 88 car. He qualified for the Clash this season at Daytona and was able to race that. Dale Jr. insisted, in fact, that Alex Bowman raced the number 88 in that Clash because he said he's the one who earned that spot. So I think we've seen what Alex Bowman can do. I understand the one-year agreement. Let's give you a chance in the car. Let's see what you can do. If you do well, then we can talk about future. I think also of significance here is that Exalta and Nationwide are both on board as sponsors for that number 88 car for that 2018 season. And I think that says a lot that those sponsors have confidence in Alex Bowman as well.
That's right, and that, too, is kind of a trial period to see how they fit, how Alex Bowman as a representative fits in with their company, their promotions, and I think he'll do an excellent job with that given the opportunity. I really do.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I think Alex Bowman is a class act, and I think he's handled himself very, very well. Under difficult circumstances, he's hung in there. And as you mentioned, he worked and campaigned very, very hard. He's been testing with Hendrick Motorsports and providing data and information for them. And I think he deserves this spot on the number 88 team. But that's just one domino that's fallen. There's more dominoes to fit into place here as far as the pieces in the puzzle. And we've got more silly season to come here for fans, so definitely stay tuned. Is there any other big news that you want to make sure that we talk about? I do know, real quick, Michael McDowell put out some information today that he's got a big announcement coming up, and hopefully by this weekend. So watch for some news coming out from Michael McDowell this weekend.
Oh, okay. I hadn't seen that. I look forward to that. As far as it pertains to the silly season, like you said, this has now been the first one to really fall as far as that. There's going to be a lot more. I think the only other official one is that Paul Menard is leaving Richard Childress Racing. you know, what happens with their third team, where he goes, that's all still speculation. I know Brad Keselowski's made some implications of his intent to stay, same with Kyle Larson, but that's the only official things we can report on at this point. The other big one that, you know, we're still waiting to hear is Matt Kenseth, and I know some people had linked him to that 88. You know, that's obviously not going to happen, so I think he's the next big one. I think when that one goes, there's going to be a lot more after that.
Yes. So definitely something for fans to keep their eye on as the Philly season continues to progress here. It's going to be interesting how this 2018 season lines up. And keep in mind, you still got Darryl Wallace Jr. out there too. And a lot of people are wondering if he's going to be able to get the sponsorship he needs. I know Richard Petty Motorsports has said they'd love to add a car for Darryl Wallace Jr. to be a part of their organization. The problem is the sponsorship funding they need to be able to do that. So sponsorship playing a big role in what happens in some of these cases. And it's a big deal at this cup level that these guys are struggling to get the sponsorship they need to be able to stay in that level of racing. So definitely keep your eye on it. You had a couple of great articles that were out this past week. What's next on the agenda as far as articles?
Well, I didn't get it done apparently quick enough. One I was thinking about was what Rick Hendrick should do with that 88. So we'll skip over that one. another one now would be looking at what Richard Childress does. I know I saw one article saying that he's looking at if he's going to have to cut back to two, if not, what happens there, and what they need to do to maintain that three-car team if they can. So that'll be the next one that I work on.
Yeah, I almost think Richard Childress, you know, I'm just going to put my two cents in here. I think he should cut down to the two teams and run Austin Dillon and Ty Dillon in those cars to really focus on his grandsons and doing everything he can to help his grandsons to be successful in this sport. We haven't really seen Ryan Newman does have a win, but he's not competitive week in and week out as far as running up in the top. And, you know, he needs to be in the equipment that can make him competitive. And if that's not happening at Richard Childress Racing, then he needs to be looking at other opportunities as well. But it'll be interesting to see what happens here. But I think it should be two teams, and I think it should be his grandsons at Richard Childress Racing. For my 2 cents, whatever that's worth.
Well, it's worth at least 2 cents, right?
That's right.
That's right. I kind of expected to maybe hear some rumblings about Ty Dillon moving there, but I really didn't. So, you know, again, I'm not involved in any of those teams. I'm with you. I would think that would be the natural plan. Another thing to look at, again, the one official statement we got now, Dodge would not be returning. I believe it just said in 2018. So I still have slight hope that maybe down the road, but it definitely will not be in 2018. Or near future, but NASCAR, on the other hand, said they were talking to several, so another manufacturer is still possibly going to play into the silly season.
Right. One of the ones that I've been hearing kind of at the top of that list is Honda, and Honda is certainly active in the racing world. It'll be interesting to see if they're able to come into NASCAR, but they're not the only one on that list. So just throwing a name out there as a possibility. Again, we'll have to keep our ears to the grindstone here to see how that transpires. But NASCAR has made it clear they are exploring that possibility of bringing another manufacturer into the series. So we'll wait and see what happens there. Okay. I think we've covered quite a bit here. We've gone a little bit over time again, Jay, but we wanted to get some of that hot topic news out there as well. I want to thank you for being a part of our Thursday night weekend preview show and being here every Thursday night as co-host on our Thursday night show. I really do appreciate it.
Well, it's my pleasure. I love it. And again, for Twitter and Instagram, you can follow me, MoparMJ8. You'll see a lot of information from some dirt tracks. We got a big factory stock shootout one here in Meridian, Mississippi this weekend. So if you follow me, you'll see some posts from that.
Okay, that's awesome. And then I'll have the previews. In fact, I've got them all ready to go for both the Xfinity Series and the Cup Series. We'll have the previews out before the race and, of course, the recaps after the race with any other news that comes out the NASCAR wire. We'll post those on Fan for Racing. So, again, thanks to all of our listeners for tuning in each and every week. We will be back on the airwaves this Monday night for the review of Indianapolis Motor Speedway this weekend. That includes Lucas Oil Raceway with the ARCA Racing Series. So tune in at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time both next Monday and Thursday night right here on Fan for Racing Radio on Blog Talk Radio. We appreciate everyone and look forward to talking to you on the other side of a great race weekend. Enjoy, everybody, and good night.